CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show for May 13th and 14th, 2023. CCTA Wake Up Call for May 13th and 14th. Welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call for the weekend of May, May 13th and 14th. And welcome. And I'm going to again ask everybody to please introduce themselves, starting with Mary. Well, I'm Bob Griswold. Yeah, okay. You pointed to me, so I have to be myself, yes.
Mary Griswold.
Christy Frazier.
Alan Harrop.
Glenn Fink.
Okay, the silence is deafening. So, Mary, you want to start with a topic?
Okay. Actually, I'm going to start out with the press conference that the Oversight Committee held this morning. And they are waiting for the FBI or the Justice Department to actually give them the records that show the corruption of the Biden family. But they have the bank transaction records that they got through kind of through the back door.
That's right. They are going to introduce those tomorrow, bank receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to show where $1 million came from Romania.
Yes.
And actually, I believe it was $3 million came from Romania, but only $1 million went to Hunter. I mean, he got shortchanged.
And how many LLCs do they have again? Over 20?
Well, the charge that Biden is, the thing that Biden is saying to fight back on this is that, well, Trump made a lot of money overseas too. If you want somebody making money overseas, look at Trump. Well, Trump had businesses. He had hotels. He had golf courses. He had tangible things.
He funded those himself.
Yeah, but I mean, he had actual businesses,
right,
that made money. So far, no one has shown a business plan or a concrete business or a product or anything that would make this legitimate.
I think what I have seen in the news is that a lot of this activity, the Romania and the other activity that you were mentioning, Bob, happened during his vice presidency, which is ties to the Obama administration. So that tells me that there's some ties with other folks.
Yeah, and that may be why they're having such a problem getting the truth to come out, because it goes pretty high up.
And the other thing I think to remember, even though most of these things may have initiated during his vice presidency, the ones that were continued, he was running for president. So therefore, the attempt to get influence with a presidential candidate is in fact something we should be very worried about, because he got elected and now he owes those people a payback. There were no goods exchanged, so they were expecting something, and they were,
yes,
expecting some sort of favorable influence to their goals.
And if you track the details, it wouldn't surprise me if you follow that money, it did not end up in some campaign financing. So,
oh yeah.
And, well, and let's not forget about the tax evasion. Were, mm-hmm, there taxes applied to this money that was donated to these LLCs, to the 9 Biden family members?
Including grandchildren.
I know, including grandchildren.
Well, the unfortunate thing about it is that this comes at a time when we have the most corrupt Department of Justice, to the extent that they do not apply the law equally. If this were a Trump family issue, they'd be all over it. And it's going to be minimized, and they're going to come up with all kinds of ways to make sure that nothing actually, no indictments occur. And so to the extent that they can, unfortunately, the Congress does not have the ability to indict or bring charges.
No, but if you bring out enough information with enough proof, now the mainstream is going to be very careful how they cover this, but if enough people know what went on and start screaming, we will see action. And as far as, I want to go back to what you said about the politicization, or never can say that word, of the Justice Department, because that began, to me, do you remember under the Obama administration, the new Black Panthers in Philadelphia? Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do.
There was a video showing the new Black Panthers at a Philadelphia voting place in military-style uniforms with billy clubs guarding that voting place. And they were brought up on charges of election interference. And the Obama Justice Department totally dropped those charges. Right then, we knew that we had a problem. And because it wasn't dealt with, because the media, of course, didn't play it up, we're seeing that was, if that were a seed, and I realize the problems were there with J. Edgar Hoover, if you want to be technical, but that was the modern seed, and we are seeing the plant as a result of that.
Yeah, I guess a point that I was going to make and you hit on, that was far from the beginning of the political.
Well, one recently Bob had me read the book, The Last Days of Marilyn Monroe, which had a lot in it about J. Edgar Hoover and the Kennedy family. And that book curled my hair. J. Edgar Hoover violated the rules about spying on Americans to an extent that this administration has copied. And the book was just an eye-opener in terms of the corruption goes back a long way.
I'm really grateful that Robert RFK Jr. is running for seat on the Democratic side and talking about the CIA and how it affected his family, and the deaths were associated with the CIA.
One of the things, now Tucker Carlson is off Fox, he's headed to Twitter, we think. Now, there was an article, and I think I posted it on Right Wing Granny, about the boycott of his show after he talked honestly about illegal immigration. It is my personal opinion that that wasn't why he got kicked off. I think he got kicked off because of the comments he made about Richard Nixon and the fact that a president who was elected with 49 states, the press and the deep state, if you will, managed to get out of office within 2 years and replace with a deep state person. Now, Tucker Carlson did an opening monologue that went through the whole scenario about how they got rid of Spiro Agnew and the whole thing. And I'm convinced that's why they threw him off, because he got a little bit too close to the truth. Because Nixon was going to audit the Fed, and the Federal Reserve does not want to be audited.
Almost all of the things that Tucker was presenting was mostly the truth.
Yeah, the things that other people weren't telling us.
The things that we at this collective table might pay attention to.
Yes, which got him in trouble.
Which got him in trouble. Folks, we're going to take an early break to hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back. Let's go to another topic. Mary, you wanted to...
Last week, I attended a special school board meeting at J.T. Barber School because the school board, someone at the last school board meeting had suggested an alternative use of that school. And they decided to go to the school and have a meeting to discuss that issue. And the superintendent, whose name escapes me right now.
Dr. Miller.
Got up at the beginning of the meeting and said that she supported keeping the school open the way it was, and I believe was talking about a restart program to help the school improve and to end its reputation that it has right now of being a failing school. The thing that was interesting about the meeting was that the community showed up. Not only did the community show up, but I learned at that meeting that there are 200 some volunteers in that school trying to help get its back on its feet from one of the local churches. I was impressed by that. Now, if the community continues to support that school and to show up and to be there for the students in that school, then I'm glad they didn't close the school. I think there's a bright future for it. But it was a good meeting, and it was good to see the community support.
Well, the thing of it is, it didn't surprise me. You can hold that same meeting for any of the other great schools, independent of background at all, and the crowd will come up because they won't want their school taken away. All that was very predictable. It seems to me like from what happened at the school board meeting prior to that I didn't make, but they did have that topic, and they weren't able to pass direction. And I think... I don't know if it's a board. It feels like more the administration got ahead of themselves, even to the point of doing projects for potentially bathroom facility changes and things like that for smaller kids. They got ahead of themselves and did a 180, it appeared. And I think it was appropriate. I think they weren't ready, and it needs to be incorporated, as many have said, into the larger program where 3, 4, 5 schools are going to have to close. But every single school that has a public meeting
is going to do that.
It's going to sound the same.
I agree with you, Glenn. And if you go back into the history of J.T. Barber, 15, 20 years ago, people were begging to be in that school. And what happened to J.T. Barber is what's important for us to know. Florence came in 2017, and it knocked out half the population in that area.
In that area,
and,
yes.
And they had to find new housing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to J.T. Barber. And, you know, J.T. Barber is a good school. Maybe it's not the one that needs to close at all. Maybe we need to look at some of the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with Glenn. J.T. Barber is staying open is probably the best thing for now. They've come up with the right decision.
Maybe even for the wrong reasons, but I do strong. The other thing is this restart acted like it was new.
Mm-hmm.
They restarted that school 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it got derailed because of COVID and those things. So
staffing problems. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not like it just became restart ready. It was restarted.
It got derailed.
So it's the recent history has not been good. But there was some tragedy that happened, and appropriately so. It's got a second chance.
And you know, it's interesting if we aim our fingers up at Governor Cooper or whatever else, with the amount of funds from Matthew and Florence that have not been released to rebuild areas. Now, I realize, yes, you have a shortage of materials and a shortage of labor or whatever else, but there's so much in the way of funding that should have rebuilt some of that area that is just not being released. Now, that's a whole different story.
Well, it might turn out that in the long run, or maybe even in the short run, the fact that other schools know that they're being looked at as for potential closing might motivate them to come up with newer strategies and more effective strategies to improve their performance.
Competition is always a good thing.
The bottom line is, first of all, you have the economic problem of keeping more schools open than you need, which has to be dealt with. I understand there's 4,000 fewer students in the Craven County School now than it was just several years ago. So they're going to have to do something about it economically. But beyond that, what you hope is that the ones that stay open are the ones that are performing the best. That's for whatever reason. So it might be a motivation. If I were superintendent, I'd require every principal at a school that's underperforming to come up with a plan, specific plan, what they're going to do, and monitor that. Its effectiveness, and then use that as a model other places.
What a lot of people are failing to understand is that a lot of people think that J.T. Barber in that particular school zone is not getting the appropriate funding. Every child has a certain amount of money that follows them.
Yes.
So if it's half staff of children, and also the teachers that are recruited for that area,
you're not gonna
they're paying more to keep those teachers there, and they have turned over three principals in the last five years. So, you know you have an issue. I think it's great. The 200 volunteers are...
I don't know what they're doing, but that was the number that was given at the meeting.
I think that's fantastic.
The other part of it, too, is... Because of COVID and parents becoming aware of what was going on in their schools, a lot of parents went to homeschooling or private schools. So our enrollment is dropping. But we have a situation over the next couple of years, and I don't know exactly how this is going to work, where the population of Cherry Point is going to increase.
Yes.
Military people have children, or at least they did when we were in the military. So our drop in population may not be a permanent thing, and we need to be flexible enough so that if we have a sudden surge and we have closed schools, that we can deal with the surge.
Yeah, working in opposition to that likelihood, however, is the General Assembly just expanded this school choice voucher option.
Mm-hmm.
If that continues to go the way it should, which should include homeschools, which it's not now. It should have included it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see more people taking it. There's too many negative things going on in the public schools. We're going to talk about this transgender issue in a moment. There's things that parents are frightened about. Besides the performance, you don't know what your children are being indoctrinated with.
Not only that, you have a situation where a kid graduates from high school and is functionally illiterate. Because they have just pushed them through. And we need, one of the things we need, I realize we need to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, and we need to get back to that. But I think we need a course that teaches them how to make a budget, how to balance a checkbook, how to fill out a job application, how to create a resume. Let's teach them practical skills while we're at it.
I agree. The commissioner meeting that took place last week, they were they wanted a better plan for the shutting down of the schools, and I get that, but I think the commissioners need to work with the board and the business community on what is best for our community and not knock down our schools. I mean, what's going to happen in the future is the charter schools are going to be standing in line for money, the Christian private schools are going to be standing in line for money, and then the public schools.
And, you know, along with what you're saying there, is don't jump to conclusion that we have to close this one school. Look at the whole county as an entity, because be smart. We heard at one of the other school board meetings that let's not start another mediocre program. Let's take some of the programs that we have and get them to be run well.
Good.
We have a lot of mediocre programs going.
Good point.
Yeah, let's do one thing well. And again, we can work with the business community in New Bern because the community college has done such a good job with its vocational program. Not every high school kid is designed for college. One of my granddaughter's friends is in a welding program at Coastal Community College or one of the community colleges in that direction. And he's, I think it's a 2 or 3 year program. When he comes out, he has the equivalent of an associate's degree and a certificate as a welder. I mean, he will do better. He will have less school loans. I was looking at something the other day. Somebody's kid graduated on Facebook, and they had a picture of the graduation, one page of the graduation notice, and it was all history and psychology majors. What does one do with a history degree or psychology? Well, a psychology degree might make sense. You could comment
probably
on
not.
That. But what does one do with a history degree in terms of entering the workforce?
And that, you know, what you talk about now is this whole, people are beginning to question the whole idea of the value of college. The cost of college has gone up so much, and it is bankrupting people.
Yes.
And when you look at what they actually emerge with in terms of some marketable skills, in mm-hmm. a lot of cases, it's things that are not needed, and they can't get jobs. And so I think the whole education process
needs to be looked
program
at.
Is just
agreed.
Well, I think when they federalized the student loan program, they really opened a. I'm going to go back to our kids, and this was before the federalization. But I remember our daughters going off to college, and as soon as they maxed out their own credit card, and then said, "Oh man, I got to pay that back." That was a rude awakening.
Dude,
a very rude awakening, but it was something that got them back on budgeting.
Yeah, they learned that they had to, you know, find a way to pay that off.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, getting back to the commissioners, the Board of Education, and the whole redistricting, possibly understanding what schools might be better to close, and it might not be J.T. Barber.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, you know, the Craven Community College is another resource for our community. Did you know that they asked for more money than the Board of Education did at that commissioner's meeting?
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Considerably more. I don't think they'll get it, but they asked for it.
And yet, while we're talking about this, there is value to community schools.
Yes.
Because I guess kids don't walk to school anymore. They kind of frown on that. But it's nice to have your kid at a school where if they get sick at school, it's a 5-minute trek. Where we lived in Massachusetts, the high school was about 10 minutes away. That wasn't too bad. We had a regional high school and regional junior high. The junior high was in the middle of the woods. And if you didn't know where it was, you weren't going to find it. And when my kids went to junior high, I said, don't ever get sick in school because your mother will be lost in the woods of Norfolk and we'll never find her. I eventually did find it, but it was a good half-hour drive. And that's, you know, that's hard on a parent, particularly a working parent.
It is, yeah. Craven Community College is a good place for a lot of kids to get started.
Yes,
in our community.
And they also now have the programs they didn't have when most of us were in school. One of my grandkids, when she graduates from high school, will be 2 courses shy of an associate's degree.
Hmm.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That is excellent. That's excellent.
Very good. We need to roll on to another topic?
Well, I'm hoping to start it after the break.
No, don't start it after the break. Start it now.
Okay. Well, I'll give you
4 minutes.
We've been talking about education. And one of the concerns of many of us, I think, is the indoctrination of our kids with this transgender thing. And more disturbing is the fact that Duke University is behind a lot of this. That's awful.
It's all universities. I mean, it's Duke, it's ECU. I think every university is probably plugged into this phenomena. It's not just a North Carolina thing, but it's all the major universities.
Why?
I think it just resolves into mental health issues and parenting, not parenting. And I would never even entertain my child to cross over.
Well, in this particular case, Mary, as you pointed out about Duke with this particular program, where they're selecting 130 schools in the state and they will be given free access to mental health evaluations, mental health intervention, assessments, and so on, all supplied through Duke University program, but no cost to the schools. And, of course, it's like anything else you get for free, there's always some strings attached. The interesting thing about it, and where it gets connected to this transgender issue, is that the lady who is proposing this program, started this program, was an assistant secretary of the department, the State Department of Health and Human Resources. She is, in fact, on the faculty at Duke. And she is on a panel that controls the transgender issues and treatments and so on that that occur at Duke University. And she has this dual kind of influence with the Department of Human Resources, which is making these services available, and at the same time, she's connected with Duke University and this transgender thing, which throws in a lot of questions about what's the motivation behind this effort.
And also, and who's funding it.
Who is funding it?
Also, if a child, let's say a teenager, transitions, they are a medical patient for the rest of their lives, because you have to keep up the hormones and all this other stuff. So the medical community makes a fortune. I want to mention a story I heard a while ago about some parents who, I believe, handled this beautifully. There was a 7-year-old boy who came home one day and said he wanted to be a girl. And mom and dad sent him to a good psychiatrist who was not pushing transgender. And they found out this little 7-year-old boy had a 5-year-old sister who was handicapped. And he thought if he was a little girl, he would get the same amount of attention that she was getting. So they sorted all that out. He became very happy as a little boy and continued on with his life. And to me, that's a much more sense. Let's find the root of this, deal with the problem. And, I mean, I realize there are some kids that maybe, whatever, but again, you can hold them off till they're 18.
The worst thing you can do is to entertain these kinds of notions that children might have. The best thing to do is to correct misperceptions, not go along with them, or in some cases, they're being encouraged.
Yes.
They're saying, well, yeah, you could do that, and we'll change your pronoun, and just advocating it. So.
But that's parenting. That's bad parenting.
It is bad.
That is parenting, huh?
Yeah.
That's real parenting?
Okay. Okay. I think so.
Folks, we're going to take another break, and we ask you to go and frequent our advertisers, and we hope you're enjoying the show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you, folks, for staying with us, and we're going to continue the conversation. Where do we want to head?
We're going to talk about, I think we can look at some of what is going on in terms of transgender now versus some of the stuff that we grew up with that I believe was pretty harmless.
And that would be Tootsie.
Yeah.
With Dustin Hoffman.
And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
And Milton Berle, if you're old enough to remember Milton Berle.
Yes.
And Flip Wilson.
And, you know, there was a lot of cross-dressing, but that's different.
But it wasn't sexualization.
No,
it was
not.
It was, I don't know what
humor.
It was.
It was humor. Yeah.
And nobody took it seriously.
And
no, you didn't have pole dancing in transvestite.
And, you know, the entertainment industry was filled with, going to use the old term, gay personalities, and they didn't make a big deal of it in front of everybody else. They had their lifestyles or whatever else, but when they were acting, they were fitting their roles as they needed to fit the roles, but they weren't trying to shove everything in our face, and that's something that's a little different now.
And the sad part about it is that the actual percentage of people who have attempted to change their gender is extremely small, okay? Like 0.2% of the population. However, like it's been happening in this country with some other similar issues, is there's a vocal group of them, and they keep pushing, and they keep pushing. And what happens is people start compromising.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, well, we don't want to be accused of being hateful to this group. And then you start giving in. And when you start giving in, you start giving up your principles and your morals. And you have to remember that these people who are in these distinct minorities, psychologically, they want to expand their group. They want to be seen as normalized. They want to normalize their abnormal behavior. And the one way you do that is by getting more and more people to accept it, getting involved. It's like these, storytelling lessons.
Drag queen story hour. And
how anybody of any sense would allow that in a public library. But they do that because they're afraid of standing up and saying no, and they want to give in to the pressure that they get. They don't want to be accused of being, you know, insensitive or the other, you know, pronouns they use to accuse people that don't go along with their agenda. We got to get some backbone. Stop. It's got to be stopped, period.
There's another aspect of it, too. Way back when we were in Massachusetts, we were part of a prayer vigil at an abortion clinic in
Brookline.
Brookline, okay. And it was during the days of Operation Rescue, and there was a big crowd there. And the crowd was made up of people praying, but the crowd was also made up of National Organization of Women with Molly Yard, and the gay and lesbian activists were also there. Now, obviously, they don't have a horse in that race, but they understood that if they stood with the National Organization of Women to protect abortion rights, quote unquote, that when it came to them wanting something, that the National Organization of Women would stand with them and their numbers would be bigger. So we have to learn I believe the conservatives have to learn to put on a united front. And my feeling is, I don't care what you do in your private life. I really don't. But don't shove it in my face. You know, if
but
if,
don't ask me to normalize it.
Yes,
don't ask me
exactly.
to say it's abnormal. It's okay.
You can, it isn't okay.
You can be this. You can be that. It does because society can't exist with all these abnormal behaviors because it fractures what society is.
Now, I mean, gender dysphoria used to be a mental illness. Is it still, or have they changed that?
I believe they've changed it now. And the thing is, now it's used as a way of identifying a child that they then try to convince that they mm-hmm. need to change. Where before it was identified as a problem to be eradicated or dealt with, you work with the parents. No, you don't let your child dress like a girl. If he's a boy, doesn't do that. If he comes out with a skirt on, you tell him. Go back, you're not doing that. You don't go up. But right now, some of the parents, I think, are afraid. If they don't go along with it, then they're going to be held accountable. Somebody's going to turn them in, and you know, and or it's going on behind their back. That's the other problem that's going on. These some of these groups that the kids get into,
yeah,
are they tell the kids, don't tell your parents, no need to tell your parents about this. We'll call you by whatever pronoun.
And you can change your clothes when you come to school.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at Glenn's shirt, and it says I identify as. And a lot of people, and it's kind of comical, on social media are saying, I identify as black because I want to move to California and get my reparations. So, I mean, you know, it's really becoming a comical show on social media mm-hmm. that, you know, the reparation and they're going to pay and everybody's identifying. Let's all be black.
Well, how many six-year-olds identify as being a pirate and we don't cut the leg off and poke their eye out? On a pirate.
Not yet, but that might be coming.
Oh, that's so funny.
The other thing, I remember a couple of years ago, Bruce Jenner, or Caitlyn Jenner, was running for office. And I saw an interview with him, her, whatever. And he made the comment that he had gender dysphoria. Well, that was kind of obvious. He was sitting there in his silk dress and spike heels. But my thought when I heard that was, okay, why are you advertising a mental illness? Why aren't you dealing with a mental problem rather than putting it on display? And that was what hit me. Watching the interview was a hoot because the actions did not fit the outfit.
Well, and you know, I appreciate a Jenner on many levels because he is out there advocating that women should only be in women's sports.
Yes.
And men should only be in men's sports. And I appreciate that those comments.
And Martina Navratilova has come out
with
has
the same
said
thing.
That. And I think Robert Kennedy Jr. has said that.
Absolutely.
So, sir, there are people waking up.
Yeah, to me, the older group of this is whatever it is, but protection of our kids and keeping it away from those that are not of age is really critical. And if we can just go back to legislation and the
yes.
General Assembly.
Yes.
There was a pretty comprehensive bill that started out. It was the HB 808,
mm-hmm.
and it was Youth Health Protection Act. And that got gutted.
Yes.
It went from, of course, part of it was a resolution page or two, which really wasn't of any value in the bill, but that went to a lot smaller bill, but in size and type, but it went to a very small bill on subject matter and content, because the only thing that it did was it kept from having transgender procedures being performed on children. It did nothing for puberty blockers. It did nothing for the counseling these kids. So our supermajority, conservative, I'll say, you know, Republican group just completely gutted it and is moving towards a normalized position. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's part of that is part of the problem. And you know what's so ironic is that here we have the schools, some of which are asking for more mental health treatment personnel and to come to the schools and identify and then deal with kids that have mental illness. The truth of the matter is they're a source of a lot of the mental disturbance and the stress that kids are under. For example, not just the transgender issue, then you throw critical race theory. Critical race theory is a very difficult thing for young children to accept, that you are inherently racist if you're white, and therefore you are going to be oppressing, and you as a white person, you've been oppressing these other groups for all these years, and from the standpoint of a black child, same thing. Why should a black child strive to be successful when they're being told that no matter what you do, the color of your skin is always going to be the primary thing used to judge you, what you can accomplish? And those are very destructive things to teach children. Instead
of teaching them anger and frustration.
Exactly. Instead of teaching them optimism and rewarding them for good effort, what we do is we go to equity. Everybody gets the same reward regardless of effort. And that diminishes your sense of control over what's going on in your life. And that's what creates mental illness, the hopelessness of
it. And it also, it's demotivational. Why should I try harder if I'm not going to get any more back than somebody who doesn't try at all?
Well, as you mentioned, though, I mean, if we say to somebody, because of the color of your skin, we don't believe that you can excel. That's racist in that statement. I mean, that the affirmative action is sort of saying, I don't believe you can excel. Well, that's baloney.
So instead of the schools, instead of looking to treat mental disorder, they should be looking at how they can create a healthier environment for the children so that the children's, they come to school and they are successful and they don't have the stresses that they're experiencing now. Because like at NC State this year, I think they've had already 9 suicides.
That's horrible.
I remember going through college. I went through college, graduate school. I never remember any suicide of anybody in the schools I went to. They've had 9 of them already this year.
I've had 2 in my subdivision in less than a year.
Wow. Now, let's go back to the old cliche that when the only tool that you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And so if your only tool is a psychological analysis, they have to find something to justify their existence there.
There's another part of this, too. We have so padded the world for our kids. Puberty was never fun. Junior high school was tough. We haven't taught them to deal with the stress of puberty or the stress of junior high school.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is I think that help people get through stress is having friends and someone going through the same, communicate. And I think there's less face-to-face interaction now than there was years
yes.
ago.
Very good. Well, let's take another break and listen to our sponsors tell of their wares.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back.
And Title 42.
Title 42. Okay.
That's biggie. Now, I did see something in the news, and I may be wrong, but they may have a resolution. However, I've seen the National Guard at the border, and they are full-bodied, ready to go. I mean, we're talking three deep, and immigrants are trying to get through the barbed wire areas that are not quite boarded up with walls. And so Title 42, questionable, has it been resolved yet, or is it going to be resolved and tomorrow is the day and immigrants are trying to get in now?
Now, if I understand it right, Title 42 had to do with COVID, but the impact or the effect of Title 42 was that illegal immigrants had to go back to Mexico to wait their trial to get into the country. So it kind of said, you know, once you get through the fence, you don't have a get out of jail free card. Am I correct?
You're right.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up because I was not in total understanding. We are taking in or letting through enough immigrants to seriously change the demographic of America, and because of the numbers that they're coming in, we really can't assimilate them into the American culture. And I'm not trying to be xenophobic here, but in the past where we've had immigration, we may have had pockets of nationalities. Like, for instance, if you go into, there were certain parts of New York City, there was the Italian area, there was the Irish area,
right,
the whole bit. But eventually those people assimilated. But we're taking them in numbers that I just don't understand.
Well, back, if you look historically, back in the 1920s, I think it was like 25, 26, because of that concern you just mentioned, Mary, that the number of immigrants coming into the country was so great, the Congress, they severely restricted immigration. They cut it down to almost zero. And that stayed in force until the mid-1960s. And Ted Kennedy,
yep,
and his group of leftist Democrats pushed through a bill and mm-hmm. got that changed, and so that it opened up the immigration
yes.
again. Now we're not dealing with immigration. We're dealing with invasion. This is an invasion, and that's what we're dealing with. And the, you know, the that's exactly what the Democrats wanted right from the beginning. They believe that these individuals coming in are going to be an asset to them in the long run for staying in power. If it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be in favor of
it. Yeah, if they knew that every immigrant coming through that border illegally was going to vote Republican, that border would be closed tomorrow. And you contrast this with the people who came, I don't know everybody's background here, but my ancestors showed up in the late 1800s fleeing the Irish potato famine and fleeing persecution, as in Fiddler on the Roof. So they showed up in the late 1800s, but they showed up ready to work, ready to start businesses, ready to do things. There was no social safety net. If you couldn't support yourself, you got sent home. And unfortunately, that is not the case right now.
I don't think we're letting them in. They're invading, going back to that.
Yes.
And I heard a Sheriff Chip speaking about once they get into the country, it's a 2-day to get to Craven County with drugs.
Every state now is a border state. You know,
yes.
that's just where we are. And the amount of drugs that are coming through and the people dying of drugs is scary.
Everything we say about this isn't going to have much of an impact because people aren't listening to us and people like us. But what is likely to get some traction is when you have the mayor of New York City.
Yes.
Talking about building bedding and places for folks to live in some of the streets they think they might have to shut down to house these folks. When these large cities really get to a place where they can't manage the problem and they say they're sanctuary, I mean, that's when maybe it'll get the general public's attention.
Well, Rockland County in New York, Rockland County in New York was one of the places that yes. Mayor Adams was trying to ship illegals. And Rockland County declared a state of emergency and said, no, we're not doing this. Now, Rockland County is a very interesting county because it's it has a fairly large Hasidic Jewish population. And it's a fairly wealthy community. And it's like what happened when they landed on Martha's Vineyard. You know, it's great to be a sanctuary city when nobody can get to you. But when people start landing inside your city and you know, they look different than your regular residents, then sometimes that changes people's attitudes.
Martha's Vineyard comes to mind. They didn't like
that's
that
what I mean.
So well.
Well, they were safe as a sanctuary city because they're an island and nobody could get there until somebody just happened to put a bus on the ferry and get them over there. I think that was hilarious.
And unfortunately, these illegal invaders, aliens, whatever you want to call them, like illegal aliens is what I like. They're impacting a lot of our society. Not only are they taking spaces in schools, talking mm-hmm. about the school problem, here they're going to have people come in, they don't know how to speak English, and they're going to be another challenge to the public schools, and then they're receiving free social welfare services
housing.
They're putting them up in hotels, then they're refusing to leave the hotels, and you know, it really irritates me when they keep saying, we are a nation of immigrants. No, we are a nation of legal immigrants. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, as you said earlier, Mary, no society can exist unless it's the integrity of its value system is maintained. And when you have the diversity is so great, then that is threatened. And therefore, the fabric of that society falls apart. It's like Japan. They would say, I was reading the other day about the murder rate in Japan. It's almost unheard of. It's a homogeneous society. They're all of the same background, most of the same values. And most of the other countries that are homogeneous have fewer problems than we have. And here we're inviting, and a lot of them, if you look at the pictures, they're mostly young males, and
yes.
You know, look like what they're between maybe 16 and
25,
30, 25,
yeah.
And they're not necessarily coming here. And this stuff about asylum, they're not leaving where they are because they're being persecuted.
No.
They just want a better place to live. When you give people free stuff, who are you going to get? You're going to get people who want to get free stuff.
But
they don't come to assimilate. They come to still remain with their original identity and not assimilate.
And send money home. But what would be an irony here, and I think it would be so hilarious, I don't even know if it's possible, but I think it would be a scream. Generally speaking, a lot of the Spanish countries have very conservative values. They're very family-oriented. They're Catholics. They're, you know, pro-life, that kind of thing. Wouldn't it be ironic if the illegal aliens who came here and became citizens, because unfortunately at some point they will be granted citizenship, turned out to be conservative voters? Wouldn't that be a scream?
Well, there's some evidence that the Hispanics that have been here for generation, especially second generation, they're not in favor of all this.
No, they're not.
Input.
They're not opposed to it also.
So getting to what you're saying, however, we've got that period of time in which this is potentially very destructive to the country.
Yes.
Well, part of the what's going on at the border is sex trafficking.
Yes.
And it's not just drugs, but it's
people.
Yeah, people. Human
they have
trafficking.
Lost track of thousands,
thousands
of children.
Of children. And that is a real issue. So we can't lose track of the children.
I don't think there's going to be any resolution to this until the next election. DeSantis is probably be strong enough on it, you can bet your bottom dollar Trump will be strong on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to take. And all of this is going to count towards that election because a lot of people are seeing this. This helped him in 2016, and it is 10 times the problem now.
But so, you're assuming an honest election.
Well, I mean, that's correct. Maybe, I hope I'm not speaking overly of naive about yeah. that, but that's what I'm hoping.
Speaking of which, as it stands right now, in 2024, North Carolina will have photo ID to vote.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thought.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, did you want to talk about some things that are coming up, Mary?
Or do we have another topic to go to?
Yes.
What do we got? Oh, I want to talk about an article that Alan posted on Right Wing Granny and in the County Compass, too, I believe, about the minimum wage. Did that make the County Compass?
It's going to be out in this week's edition. And that was basically what happened, Mary, was I got notified that there was a bill being introduced by two Democrats, who else, from the Mecklenburg-Charlotte area, which, again, is
a... So we're talking the North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Currently, the minimum wage in North Carolina is $7.25, and it's been that way for several years. And their bill would increase it to $15.50. And, of course, it gets into the whole issue of whether a minimum wage is something that's beneficial to a capitalist society or not. Until 1933, there was no minimum wage requirement, federal minimum wage requirement in the country. 1933, Franklin Roosevelt introduced the first one. It was 25 cents an hour. The amount doesn't matter because the value of the dollars changed so much. But the point is that was the first time it was introduced. It was actually overturned by the Supreme Court, and it came back by 4 years later. So it was found unconstitutional initially. Then they got changes in the court.
But is there value to a minimum wage?
Well, from the standpoint, I think the negatives outweigh the positive.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is that ultimately, how much you make as a worker, an employee, is a function of how much you contribute to a business.
Yes.
My son operates a commercial refrigeration business in Raleigh, and he has 15, 20 people working for him. He pays them according to their skill level, how mm-hmm. much they contribute to the profits of that company.
Yes.
And if I'm an employer and I have someone that's doing a good job, I don't want to lose that person. I'm going to negotiate. I'm mm-hmm. going to have a contract with that person. The other thing where it hurts is young people coming in. Because let's say, for example, like in my son's case with his business of doing his commercial refrigeration, say a young person wants to come work for him. At $7 an hour, he might hire that person as an assistant, mm-hmm. an apprentice. So $15 an hour, he can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
Now, the big sense. Corporations like Walmart and Amazon, it's going to hurt the small businesses most.
Yes.
Because they're operating on a small profit margin.
Yes, exactly. It's
going to be more automation.
More automation, that's right.
That's what it's going to
be. Well, folks, I thank you for joining us for this show, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us. You have a wonderful week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.